Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, April the 24th, 2026. Last Friday in the month of April, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. Reminiscing tonight about Columbus, Ohio television legends. Flippo the Clown in a very positive way. Jimmy Crumb in a not-so-positive way. But I can honestly say that every other Columbus, Ohio personality I've ever met, Chuck White, Joe Holbrook, Doug Adair, Colleen Marshall, Cabot Ray, Jerry Revish, Dave Kaler, they've all been nice. Fritz the Night Owl, he could be a little difficult, but he was okay. But Jimmy Crumb, holy mackerel, he was something. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if there's anything on your mind. We can certainly discuss it. I'd have to go look in my old tapes to see if I have any of the Jimmy Crumb. I mean, this would be back in the cassette tape days. But all I'm saying is everybody I've ever met. Now, they won't tell them publicly, but everybody privately has a Jimmy Crumb story, which is not very flattering to Jimmy Crumb. He's been gone now like 17 years or something. But boy, he could be a pill. Does anybody want to call in? 740-383-9944. Matt went to go run an errand here. So we have a minute if you would like to call in. 740-383-9944. I think I've made it through my sneezing spell. Thank God. Smelling that chili. About sneezed myself to death there during the program. But you're getting an entertaining show tonight, to be sure. This is a once-in-a-lifetime show. I'm trying to think. There is nobody else, really, that I've ever had a real problem with. Other than him. And, you know, I know what the problems were, and they had nothing to do with me. But, you know, in any event, that was Jimmy Crumb. You know, it's sad Matt never got to live through the era of Jimmy Crumb. He was an interesting personality, to say the least. Well, I bet he wrote letters. I bet he got a lot of hate letters. He could be that way. All right. Well, how was the store?
It was all right.
Oh, good. Well, again, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. It is a getaway Friday night. Now, I'm going to show you here. I'm going to give you a little trickle of how bad Jimmy Crumb was. What do you got going on there?
Charger.
Well, I think there's a plug over there. Isn't there an extension cord there or something? A power strip?
But it's not plugged in.
Bet it is. Oh, I don't know. There's a plug in the wall.
No way.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, sorry.
Ay, ay, ay. What a show.
Yeah.
All right, you got it working now?
So maybe we'll find out.
Well, we've got power.
Well, in theory, it should be charging.
All right. Well, here's the type of guy Jimmy Crumb was.
All right.
Okay. 1989, he was still the sports director over there at Channel 4, okay? So, this guy, Gary Williams, he was the coach of the Ohio State basketball team. And he had quit to go to Maryland. Now, Jimmy Crumb goes on the news as the sports director that night that the man has quit, and he says he's going to Maryland. Now, he never said this when the man was the actual coach of Ohio State because he knew he would have gotten in trouble. But when the man quits to take the job in Maryland, this is Jimmy Crumb on the news that night. Okay, this will give you a little insight into the man. June 13th, 1989, talking about the Ohio State basketball coach.
Years ago, who should I work on now?
Well, we've opened a big can of worms now. Let's see what's going to happen. For the second time in 4 years, Ohio State's in the market for a basketball coach. Gary Williams today accepting the head coaching job at the University of Maryland.
I really thought when I went to Ohio State that that would be the job, and there was nothing there that didn't meet my expectations, but I never thought I'd have the opportunity to come back and coach at Maryland because you very rarely get the opportunity to do that as a coach.
With the Ohio State job open only hours, the Buckeyes may have their first applicant. Former Tennessee coach Don DeVoe telling us tonight by phone that he's called OSU athletic director Jim Jones about the head coaching job here. DeVoe played his college ball at Ohio State. We talked with Cleveland State head coach Kevin Mackey today. He's echoing talk all over the place that the Ohio State job is really one of the top jobs in the country, and he's hinting that he'd be interested. And what about Seton Hall coach P.J. Cardissimo? The coach that took his team to the NCAA finals still has 4 years remaining on a contract worth $1.2 million. He turned down an offer from the University of Kentucky last month, mainly because of financial considerations. Well, I've been one of his most ardent supporters in the 3 years he's been at Ohio State. The only thing I can say in the wake of Gary Williams' decision to leave Buckeye country is good riddance. Now, that may sound rather cruel and inhuman, but let me explain. For the past 18 months, Williams has been saying that he has one of the best jobs in the country and has no interest in leaving Columbus. Still, his name has been associated with several coaching jobs that have opened up. Instead of saying thanks, but no thanks, Williams would show some interest, at least to the point of talking with folks, which had to be of great concern to Ohio State. Having rekindled interest in Ohio State basketball, he recruited one of the country's most sought-after high school stars in Jimmy Jackson. Part of his recruiting pitch had to be that he, Williams, would be Jackson's coach during his 4 years at Ohio State. Now, even before Jackson takes part in his first Ohio State practice under Williams' watchful eye, the coach turns his back on the young man who believed him and trusted him, and by enrolling at Ohio State, put his future in Williams' hands. Can you picture Fred Taylor doing that to Jerry Lucas or John Havlicek? Never. Never in a million years. At this point, Jimmy Jackson must be wondering who he can trust if he can't trust or believe in the man who recruited him to play basketball at Ohio State. I've been in Columbus long enough to know that Ohio State's had the kind of coaches people can look up to and believe in. Coaches with integrity. Coaches like Marty Caroux, Floyd Stahl, Ernie Godfrey, Mike Pepe, Larry Snyder, Woody Hayes, and Fred Taylor. Apparently, they don't make them like that anymore.
Now, wasn't he a nice guy? Wasn't that nice? He admitted that he'd been one of his big supporters while he was there, and then says, good riddance, and trashes the man for like a minute and a half.
Well, I can relate to that.
Oh, good.
I've been in Jimmy Crum's shoes a couple of times.
He just should have shut up and said, did the news report.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I wasn't on the news, but yes. I've been in Jimmy Crum's shoes. I mean, I'm sure he's a fan of Ohio State basketball.
But he's the sports guy.
You know, I did an awful lot of defending of Aaron Rodgers before he left the Packers. The moment that man left the Packers, I was like, you know, Aaron Rodgers can just retire as far as I'm concerned.
You know, I just don't think that that's proper. Do you? You think that's proper?
I mean, I just said I did the same thing he did, except I would, well, no, I wouldn't do it on the news. I mean, I wouldn't do all
and
that.
And he didn't like John Cooper either, and John Cooper didn't like him. They had a terrible relationship.
John Cooper was good, so what you gonna do about that?
Oh, he did not. Well, here's another. I don't know if this is about John Cooper, but he did do a nasty one on John Cooper one time, too. He he was just an awful guy, if you knew him. That's who he was. Oh, here. Doug Adair giving him the pitch. Old nice Doug Adair had to work with that beady-eyed little fellow. Here we go.
And Jimmy Crum now with sports and a medical report on one of the Reds.
Well, right now it's not too good, but we'll have to wait and see what happens. Reds outfielder Eric Davis was examined by doctors today after complaining of being run down and weak. He believes he still hasn't fully recovered from the injury he suffered in Game 4 of the World Series last fall. Davis has been out of the Reds lineup 32 times with various injuries. He's hitting only .258 with 10 homers and 28 RBIs. Let's go to Riverfront Reds and Cubs to the seventh. Reds up 4-3, and Lou Piniella is nervous. Sean Dunson steps up, and watch this. He hits a solo shot to left center. The Reds and Cubs are tied once again. 10th inning, 5-4, Cubs. Paul O'Neill leads off the inning with his 17th homer of the year, and believe it or not, they're tied again. Marge Schott feels her team might win one. Then Bill Doran comes up and hits a rocket for the game winner. The Reds take it 6-5. Cincinnati starting its homestand on a great note. The National League's hottest team sizzles at Candlestick Park. The Giants played home run derby with Montreal's Ron Darling. Will Clark hit two home runs, his 18th with a man on in the third and his 19th of the year in the fifth. Matt Williams also teed off for two dingers of his own, his 20th and 21st. The Giants win 10-3 to pick up their 10th straight win. It's their longest winning streak since 1982. On the scoreboard, the Reds win it. The Giants all do also. In the first, the Mets and Dodgers are scoreless. Pirates lead the Braves in the sixth. Phillies double up on the Padres in the eighth. St. Louis trailing Houston 5-3. Boston pitcher Jeff Gray collapsed in the Red Sox clubhouse this morning, rushed to a hospital. Doctors don't know what caused the collapse, but they don't think the 28-year-old pitcher suffered a stroke. Let's go to Fenway Park. The Red Sox trying to break out of a 9-game losing streak. Boston explodes for 10 runs in the third against Texas. Carlos Quintana drove in 6 runs in the inning, 4 coming here on the Grand Slam. He also added a 2-run double. It's only the 11th time a player's had 6 RBIs in one inning. The Sox beat up on their old teammate, Oil Can Boyd, 11-6. On the scoreboard, California 4, the Indians 2, the Red Sox over the Rangers, Minnesota by 2 over Detroit, the Oakland A's take their 5th straight, beating New York 6-5, Chicago by 1 over the Blue Jays, Milwaukee 9, Kansas City 3, and in the first, Baltimore 1, Seattle nothing. To Cooper Stadium, hey, did this guy raid my closet and show up at Clippers, the Rochester game? I guess maybe he did. Some great defense. Benny DiStefano sends a towering shot to center, but watch Keith Hughes leap and steal a homer from Benny. That was a great catch. In the fifth inning, Hughes steps up and hits a triple down the right field line. Columbus goes up 2-1, but the Red Wings come back to win 3-2 in 11 innings. Elsewhere in the International League, Toledo over Syracuse in 11. Scranton took the first of two for Richmond. Second game tied in the seventh. Pawtucket and Tidewater rained out. Day two of the week-long State American Legion Baseball Tournament in Athens this morning. Bexley eliminated Ashtabula, St. Mary's eliminating Lancaster, Steubenville sidelined Portsmouth. In afternoon games, both of them blowouts. St. Mary's eliminated Bexley, and Newark overpowered Marietta 23-6. A little more than 2 years ago, there were those who thought that Cincinnati Bengals nose tackle Tim Crumry would never play football again. The only person who disagreed with them was Tim Crumry. The former two-time All-American from Wisconsin broke his leg when the Bengals played San Francisco in Super Bowl number 23. It would have been easy to give up. In fact, it might have been necessary. But Crumry doesn't know the meaning of the word quit. Today, as number 69 practiced alongside his teammates at the Bengals' Wilmington College training camp, I ask him if he ever thinks about what could have been a career-ending injury in Super Bowl 23.
No, there's no problem with it. This has all passed me, and it's just a matter of looking forward now and having a good year.
Do you feel as good about this year as you have in years gone by? Are you optimistic?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a little older, a little wiser, I think, but I feel real good about the year. I had some good young players to help us out, and feel comfortable playing, and I hope we have a good year.
Sam Weiss would like to have 22 players like him.
I would, yes, sir.
You bet.
And we'd like to have more of an audience like you. Thank you for being
See,
and
kindly old Doug Adair there.
And a medical report on one of the Reds.
Well, right now, it's
no, not,
not
that
good,
again.
But,
you know, he was a good sports guy. Just had a terrible attitude.
Yeah, I got him. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Well,
baseball is terrible, though.
But would you do that to a coach? Trash him on the way out? Never liked you.
Not publicly.
I was one of your big supporters, but the truth is, good riddance. Never liked you. Look what you did to the kids there. Blah. Guess they don't make them like that anymore. See, that's the type of stuff that man did. He was very vindictive. I don't know. That's how he was in real life.
I didn't know. Well, I don't know. He's a sports guy, I guess, but that's an awful lot. I feel like, you know, half of what he said was like the story, and then he just kind of gave his, he just gave his opinion.
Dressed like a stop sign. I mean, he wore those ridiculous coats. He knew. He knew that got him attention.
I like the coats.
Oh, he had a ton of ugly, ugly things.
You should have got me one.
He always wore them. Anyway, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody have a Jimmy Crum? I'll tell you if you're.
Oh, what about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I'll tell you what, you wouldn't want to get behind Jimmy Crum at the White Castle. He'd be cranky. Trying to get in front of me? I want my hamburger. No, here's what happened. He used to do the Easter Seal telethon every year, even after he retired.
What is Easter CL?
CL.
That's what you just said, isn't it?
Seal.
Oh, what is Easter seal?
Easter seals. So anyway, the man would, I'm trying to think of what he did. Okay, here's what happened. He retired, but they wanted him to come back and do the Easter seals every year, which benefited handicapped children. Now, that's very admirable. So he would come, and it was a live, it would go like all day long, and they'd be answering telephones, and he'd be running the tote board and stuff like that. Well, he thought he was buddy-buddy with Arnold Schwarzenegger, because Arnold Schwarzenegger would come in and do the Arnold in Columbus. You know, and that
what
was
is the Arnold?
They still have it down there. It's a big sporting event.
Oh.
Now, big sports show thing, type
like
of thing.
Like a lifting thing?
Oh, they do all kinds of stuff down there. Big, you know, expo. So anyway, you know, this is the height of Arnold Schwarzenegger's popularity. He's in the movies. You know, he's everything. So Jimmy Crumb thought he was just all buddy-buddy. So what he was going to stage is that he apparently, this is what a story he tells, he talked to Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, I forget the amount of money, but he's going to pledge this amount of money to Easter seals. Now, because Jimmy Crumb's a show person, he just can't come back with the check and tell that. So what's going to happen is Arnold, who's flying home to California, is going to call him from the airplane during the live Easter Seals telethon and pledge this money to Jimmy Crumb. Okay?
All right.
Okay. So Jimmy Crumb's on the live television, and all the calls coming in. Oh, my God, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Cabot Ray, who I think was running the telethon, he says, Jimmy, take it. You got a call. Well, they patch old Arnold in, and Arnold cannot hear Jimmy Crumb. You know, he's like, Jimmy. And Jimmy's like, can you hear me, Arnold? Can you hear me, Arnold? And he just, they're not connecting. So they go back. And okay, we'll come back to that in a second. So then Jimmy's got his, like, earpiece in. He's holding his ear. And he's like, oh, I think we got him. But bring it back in. Arnold Schwarzenegger, are you there? Well, now you can't hear Arnold. I can hear him. I can hear him. Can you hear him? I can hear him in my ear. I can hear, and then nothing. So then they go back to Cabot Ray, and Cabot's trying to save it, because now it's looking ridiculous. And, oh, Jimmy, hey, send it back. I think I got him. And they send back, Arnold, are you there? Arnold, I can hear Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I don't think he can hear me. We're having telephonic problems here with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And they never get this thing fixed. And at one point, Cabot Ray gets so frustrated with Jimmy Crumb.
Who Cabot Ray?
He was the host. He was one of the anchors.
Okay.
He starts doing an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, pledging the money to Easter Seals to Jimmy Crumb. And what they eventually did was somehow somebody in the truck recorded Arnold making the pledge, and they just played it later in the program. But that's Jimmy Crumb for you.
He just couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it.
I'll bet you somebody got bowled out that day. I bet when he got back to the truck, heads rolled.
Well, I think that's valid. I think somebody probably lose their job over that.
Oh. I bet you they were just playing around with him. I bet you somebody back in the truck was flipping that switch. We're going to make him look ridiculous on television.
Just to get one back at him.
Oh, because they had to work with that man for years. Can you imagine what he was like in the studio? God almighty.
Was he actually friends with Arnold?
Who knows? He claimed to be friends with everybody. He was friends with Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes would come out every so often. But, he claimed he was friends with Bobby Knight.
Was he actually friends with any of these people, or do these people just, like, be friendly with him?
I think they were friendly with him because he was there forever. He had no sense of humor about himself.
Seems that way.
He really didn't. But, whatever.
You'll have that from time to time, I suppose, with people.
But you know what? There are people that different people don't get along with. What can you do?
Well, they were just people who nobody gets along with.
But I think he would actually like that we're talking about him.
I don't know.
No, he would.
I mean, he might like that we're talking about him, but, like, it's going to be like a love-hate kind of thing. I don't think he's going to like what we're saying.
I don't know. He had his own way about it. He was a good sportscaster. The reason we brought him in and wanted to interview him and all that sort of thing was because he was well-known. He was a good sportscaster. People did know who he was. But he was not a nice fellow.
He's got a sportscaster voice.
He I don't know. There was something about him.
Well, he was just a not likable kind of a guy, I guess.
No, but a lot of people. If you watched him if you never met him in person, you probably liked him.
Jimmy Crumb?
Yeah, because he did stuff like that. You know, he'd attack a coach on their way out the door, which you were probably angry at home because there goes your coach. You don't like that. So, you know, he was saying what you wanted to hear. You know, he liked that. But I'll tell you, John Cooper hated him. He attacked John Cooper. He said some horrible stuff about John Cooper.
I don't think the class is there. I don't think you go bash the man on national television. Or I guess, I don't know if that's national television, but local television.
I don't know why he had it for John Cooper. I don't know if they didn't have a good relationship. Because Jimmy Crum went back to the Woody Hayes era, so he had that good relationship with Woody Hayes. And I think John Cooper came in and didn't give him the same access, you know, didn't bow down to Jimmy Crum, and he didn't like that. So anytime John Cooper lost a game, Jimmy would just pound him on the air.
Well, I don't think that's going to help Jimmy's case at all.
I don't think it did, but I think he knew he wasn't getting anywhere with John Cooper, so that's what he did.
Why?
He just was that type of guy.
Okay.
But
when he retire?
Like the early 90s.
Oh, yeah. Before me.
But he was on every night. 6 and 11.
What? I think he was good at his job. I mean, I only watched a couple of the clips there, but I mean, I think he's pretty good at what he does.
He was okay. He was marginal. Doug Adair really made that newscast, though. Doug Adair, I always said if you wanted an anchor man, Doug Adair was it. I mean, he looked like an anchor man. He spoke like an anchor man. He never screwed up a word. I mean, he was just good.
How did he end up on the show with Jimmy Crum?
Doug Adair?
Yeah.
Well, Channel 4 had been like dead last place in Columbus for years. And Doug Adair was anchoring with his wife, Mona Scott, in Cleveland, I think it was. And Channel 4 said, we'll bring you in, husband and wife, anchor. And Jim Gunnell had just come in at that point as the weatherman. So they brought Doug Adair in. And Mona Scott and Doug Adair became super popular. And Jimmy Crum had been there a long time, so he was not hurting their case. And Jim Gunnell came in, and he was popular. So Channel 4 became number one during that era. And then Doug and Mona got a divorce. And Mona left. So then Angela Pace came in.
That's why you don't work with the, you know. That's a lot of.
Then she went to Channel 10, I think.
Rivals.
So, you know, that's how it went. But Doug was great.
Who had the better show after the fact?
I think Channel 4 still stayed in the lead because they brought Angela Pace in and she was popular too. But I think when Angela Pace left and went to Channel 10 after Mona Scott left, because they took her too, then Colleen Marshall took over. Well, by that point, Doug and Jimmy and all them, they had been there for years and years and years. They had been there for like 10 years. And they were getting older. So I think they hung in as number one, but I think people saw the writing on the wall. Because Doug and Jimmy both retired the same year. They retired within like 6 months of each other.
Man. Who retired first?
I think Jimmy did.
All Doug Adair had to do was just stick it out a couple more years. He could have went free sailing without Jimmy Crum.
Well, he got 6 months without him. But I think my guess, when Colleen Marshall took over, Doug and Jimmy were about the same age. And they both were approaching, I think, how old would they have been? J- Jimmy was born, what did it say, 1929? I think it said that. Okay. So if he's born in 29, this is like 93. So he's like 64. And Doug is probably a little younger, but not much. He's probably over 60. So I think they said, you know, we just got to tear this Band-Aid off.
Well, they just did a reshuffle.
Well, I think because they were about to... Channel 10 had taken Angela Pace, and they had Dave Kaler, and they were coming up in the ratings, and Channel 4 was going down. And your two main people who had been there were both over 60.
I don't understand. I don't watch the news, but like the news doesn't make any sense to me. Well, why am I going to watch one news channel over another news channel?
You know, it had to do with a lot of it had to do with what your primetime lineup was. If people were watching what was on the network, they would stick around for the news. And a lot of stuff had happened during.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, yeah, but you get a lot. NBC at that point went from the number one network to the number three network. So that didn't help in Columbus. And Johnny Carson, who was on after the news, you know, would go primetime, news, then Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson had retired
that, like,
the year before.
The late night show.
Right. So a lot of things were impacting that. They were getting older. I think Jimmy and Doug thought, if we get out of here before we come to number two, we can still leave on top. Because we're headed for number two pretty quick.
They saw the writing on the wall and said, now's the time.
And I don't think anybody else, you know, at their ages, wanted them to stay. Because I'm sure they were paying more money and they thought, well, we can bring these younger people in and try to build from the bottom up.
Well, it's a win-win, it sounds like to me, then.
Yeah, but they did fall out of number one because of that. And they fell out of number one for a long time.
Well, I guess maybe it wasn't a good decision then. Shouldn't have done them both.
Like, well, they had to leave. I mean, they weren't going to stay there until they were 80. Doug Adair liked to play the horses.
Like gamble?
Yeah.
Look, I don't blame him. Look, now, I don't gamble, but like I had placed bets at the horse track. Now, horse racing, in my opinion, is racing in general, in my opinion, is boring, honestly. But, you know, you're just going in a circle. But I'll tell you what, I didn't bet anything more than $5. I mean, I had $5 riding on this race, and so exciting.
Yeah. And that's why I like the Brown Jug every year.
Well, I didn't bet last year.
But, see, Doug Adair had a little career to go on.
Betting's how you lose the money.
Doug Adair, I think, married a nun, a former nun.
A nun.
Yes. And he bought some horses. And so he had a good retirement. Jimmy Crumb just went on to harass people.
The way it goes, I guess.
You know.
Yeah, two paths.
They never invited him back either, I'll tell you that. He never...
I don't think they liked him very much, it seems.
There's a plaque in the lobby. Jimmy Crumb was here.
Yes, I have a picture of that, I do believe.
You know, somebody told me this story. Now, I can't vouch for the truth of this, but the truth... See, you hear these stories. Jimmy Crumb, in his retirement, moved into a retirement community in Columbus. And I guess he called the... Jim Gunnall might have told me this. He called the station not too long before he died. And he called up Jim Gunnall, and he called up Colleen Marshall, and he called up Cabot Ray. And he said, I want you to come over to the retirement community, and we'll have dinner. And they said, oh, okay. You know, and they thought, we'll get together. You know, the old team getting back together, working together here, you know, reminisce with Jimmy Crumb. So they go over to the retirement home, and he had them at different tables. They were the entertainment for the night. He brought his friends over, and they had to, like, work a table with all these seniors. And he didn't tell them that that's why they were coming over there.
That's nice.
Jimmy Crumb strikes again.
Yeah, well, I think I would have been a little upset about that one.
Well, I don't think they were happy with it.
Well, I don't think I would have probably, I probably would have been like, hey, Jimmy, what's up with that?
But I think he was kind of a mentor to him because he was so old and he'd been there forever.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
He just became colorful in his later years. You know, it wasn't until Doug Adair came. I mean, nobody really knew who he was prior to that. When Doug Adair came, that really put that station on the map. And he was just getting into his, like, 50, mid-50s. So he was looking older. The hair had went gray. He was bald. And he started wearing those really loud jackets.
What you got against the jackets?
No, I think it was a good gimmick. But it definitely was a gimmick.
I want to, you know, next time I see Gordon Gee, I got to ask him why he wears two watches.
Now, there's a nice guy.
Gordon Gee? Yeah, I think so.
But Flippo was wonderful. And I heard so many horrible stories about Flippo. Oh, Flippo was a drunk. Flippo was difficult. He was perfectly fine with me.
I don't know. Never met the man. Seems like a nice enough guy, I guess. I like funny people.
There was a lady named Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
Does she steal people's, like, lives or
no,
something?
No, I still don't know how this worked. She was like a gimmick at baseball games.
Oh, okay.
She would run out of the dugout and kiss people. And then she would just disappear. And she had a big chest. So it was... true. True. And I think Jimmy was friends with her.
How does one get this job?
What?
You just run out of the dugout, kiss somebody, and then disappear?
See, this is how the 80s and 90s were. People loved it. They thought it was a great... It was like a mascot. Because you didn't know what team she was going to appear at or what she was going to do. And there she'd come running out on the... You didn't know who she was going to kiss. I don't think the players knew.
What happened to that?
I think she quit.
Well, I think we just find a fill-in. I mean, you know...
It was a good gimmick.
Yeah, you could have kept the gimmick going.
The last time she... I think Flippo had a roast in his later years. And she was one of the guests. And I think she came up on stage and kissed everybody. Like, did her old shtick.
Yep. Well, that's good.
Jimmy Crumb was at the roast, but they didn't let him on the stage. He was in the audience. They announced that he was there, and he stood up and waved. But they didn't put him on the stage. Why do you think?
I think they probably thought Jimmy Crumb was just going to be rude.
Well, they knew that a roast, the man's going to get up there and tell jokes. That ain't Jimmy Crumb.
Well, he could get up there. Well, yes, but he could get up there and, like, insult Flippo.
But he would mean it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Flippo
knew.
That's
what I think people wanted a roast. I want to hear you get at, you know, I mean, I don't really watch roasts, I guess, but Tom Brady and, I don't know, there's been all kinds of people who have had roasts.
But Flippo, see, I don't think he liked Jimmy, to be honest with you. But there was Jimmy, front row.
Why?
I don't know. He was just an interesting man.
He was just everywhere.
Yeah, kind of. But an oddball personality.
Been around long enough, so they just was like, yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean, he was popular. It's not like he wasn't popular, but he just had that attitude.
Just difficult to work with.
Yes, and there are a lot of people who I don't particularly, you know. He was just different. He just had a completely different take. Like, why did you want to harass people?
Well, I don't think he thought he was harassing people.
What do you think he was doing?
I think he thought he was just letting you know.
Well, I wasn't calling him.
Well, yeah, I think he thought he was just letting you know.
I thought about having my phone number changed just so I didn't have to hear from him anymore. God, Dina Sports.
I think that it works okay.
All right, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, but everybody else was good. Everybody else is good.
It is hot in here.
It's getting a little warm tonight. But the sneeze, I think it was that chilly.
Could have been.
Ooh. So who have you run into, personality-wise, that you did not think was wonderful?
I don't think I've met anybody who I thought was not nice. Or, you know, unpleasant. I mean, I think everybody I've met, for the most part, I mean, they're nice enough people.
So nobody's ever barked at you or anything? Oh, that's not true.
It was a sound guy.
That's just who I was thinking of. Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, there was a God. Sound guy. But besides that, I don't think I've ever had had anybody.
What was that all about?
We had the Mary Ellen video that we were going to play, and we were going to have to change the slideshow that they had up on the screen, and for some reason the sound guy thought I was going to ruin the whole, I don't know. I was like, all I have to do is minimize this tab, open this tab, let the video play, and I can close this tab, re-maximize that tab. But, for some reason they just couldn't fathom that, so there ended up being no video.
But didn't he got nasty, didn't he?
Yeah, he was rather upset about it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Said I went over his head. I don't know. He was very, very upset about it. I was like, it's their event. What do you mean I went over your head?
Nothing happened, if I remember right. He was just a cranky fellow.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
But some people are like that. I mean, you can't fault these people. They're just like that.
I don't know. I fault them.
I don't.
I wasn't really upset about it, I guess, but I mean, I don't think there was a need for all that.
I don't really care. To me now, the Jimmy Crumb thing is just a joke, because you think that this man was that difficult in his time, but he's fine now.
Yeah, I bet he is fine now.
I like him a lot better now.
A little quieter.
But that stopped. It's not like it went on forever. It was just the year after I dealt with him that he was difficult. And then we didn't deal with each other anymore.
Fair enough, I guess.
Yeah, he's just a different guy.
Well, I think he thought he was a... I think he thinks he was probably a nice guy.
I did do a tribute to him on the air, though, when he died.
He thought.
I did. I did a tribute to him. We had a whole show. People called in and said nice things. I think the co-author of his book and people had worked with him at Channel 4. They called in. They paid tribute. But the people who work with, the Doug Adairs and that group, no. They did not call in and pay tribute to Jimmy Crumb. I think if you work with him on a daily basis, you'd probably had enough.
Fair enough, I guess. I mean, yeah.
But I remember his co-author calling in.
Cantankerous people or...
Now, Tom McNutt. Now, there was a wonderful guy. The Garden Man.
Tom McNutt. The Garden Man.
The Garden Guy on Channel 4. He was great.
Did he just give gardening tips?
Yes, he was on every Saturday morning, and he would give gardening tips. And okay. He was funny. Oh, he was funny.
Gardening tips.
Tom McNutt.
And this is how you get views.
Well, on Saturday morning, sure.
Okay.
People loved him. He wrote books.
That's good, I guess.
He used to call into my show and give gardening tips. I liked him. Tom McNutt.
And you still can't grow tomatoes.
No. But he would come to the Coleman Garden shows in Marion. And every time he would tell me he was coming, and we would get together and we would do a taping. He'd be in town. Tom McNutt.
Well, that's good, I guess.
Good man.
Sounds like it.
Yep. They all were good. That's why I hate to bring up the Jimmy Crumb thing, because everybody else was fine. Everybody else was top-notch.
Maybe, I don't know. I guess he had an ego.
And anybody else who was around him would tell you that, too.
Well, never met the man.
Doug Adair was just great, though. Doug Adair was hilarious. Doug Adair came to an event here in Marion, and I knew that he had worked we were doing some kind of charity event. He was getting an award, and I was hosting the event, and he was great. But he came in, and I had just read this book on Dorothy Fulltime that had been written about her career, and I knew he had worked in Cleveland at the same time that she had worked in Cleveland. So I got an extra copy of the book to give to Doug Adair. And he walked in the room and I said, "Hey, Doug, I got something for you." And I gave him this Dorothy Fulltime book. And he said, "Scott, I've been trying to get away from this woman for 25 years. He was just funny. And then he laughed and took the book.
Well, that's good. What's Doug Adair up to? He's
dead.
Yep. You'll have that, I guess.
Dead.
It happens.
I did the last interview with Doug Adair.
Well, there you go. Sealed in the history books forever.
He lived a long time, though. Doug Adair lived, last 10 years.
Well, how old was he?
He was up in his 80s, I think.
Well, that's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, he lived a good long life. Joe Holbrook lived a long time. He was the weatherman, then he became the gardening man.
Promotion.
Well, I think he liked to garden in his old age.
Good for him, I guess. You know, everybody got to do something. I thought about gardening, but then I was like, that sounds like way too much work.
He was the most famous weatherman in Columbus prior to Jim Ganahl and Ben Gelber. Everybody knew Joe Holbrook.
Ben Gelber. I think hilarious.
I forget how many years Joe Holbrook was at Channel 10, but it was long, like 40-something years.
Ben Gelber's still working?
Oh, yeah. But he doesn't work during the week. He just works weekends. But Joe Holbrook was the guy. And Joe Holbrook, I'll tell you a funny Joe Holbrook story. I used to do a Christmas special every year at WMRN. And I had this thing dreamed up one year where I thought, I'm going to have the weatherman come on, and we're going to have a weatherman. It always had some kind of theme to it. We would have celebrities who would call in, and they would tell their favorite Christmas memory. And then we'd have like a theme that ran through the show. And the payoff of the show was we were going to have a weatherman who was going to give the forecast for Christmas. Because the show was like a few days before Christmas, the Christmas special. And I thought, well, let's actually get a real well-known weatherman to do this. This will be good. And they can be part of like a running gag throughout the special. They can do weather reports. And I thought, who's the most well-known weatherman who I could get? Joe Holbrook. And so I called Joe up, and Joe said, well, Scott, I'm sorry. I would love to do it, but I can't do it. And then I thought, God, Joe Holbrook's the only one who can really do this. So I called up, and he said, Scott, you know, I really do want, I would love to do it. I love working with you, but I'm busy on that date. So then I got the idea. I thought, what if we taped his bit and just dropped it into the show? That would still work. So I called up, and his wife, Wilma, answered the phone, and I laid it on her. And she said, and I told her that Joe had said no twice already, and she said, let me talk to him. So, like, 15 minutes pass by, and the phone rings. It says, Joe Holbrook. So I pick it up, and I said, hello. And he said, Scott, this is Joe Holbrook. My wife tells me that you're going to have her beat me above the head and shoulders if I don't come up there and do this. So when do you want me? And he came up and did it.
Well, that's good. She had the wife put in some heavy lifting there.
That's right. And that was Joe Holbrook, a nice guy. Nice guy. And when he got up here, we went and had lunch at Perkins, and he was just a nice man. And he did the weather report that year.
Well, that's good. Well, I think I want to do something like that again.
All the weathermen are dead.
Ben Gelber's still around.
Well, Ben Gelber, but he's, you know, he's working.
Yeah. I like...
There was a time where all these retired personalities were still around.
I like the amazing Ben Gelber. I think that's a fantastic video.
Mighty.
Same thing.
No, the title is The Mighty Ben Gelber.
I thought it was The Amazing. Same concept in my mind. But, yeah. Anyways, Mighty Ben Gelber, great.
We celebrated the anniversary of that.
It's very nice.
Yeah. See, now, I'll tell you, Jimmy Crum wouldn't have done that. No.
No sense of humor.
Oh, I can only imagine if they would have went to him and said, Jimmy, a local radio station here called The Zoo has a song that makes fun of you, and they want to make a music video with you in it. Oh, God. Their phones would have rang. He liked to call people. Once they took his driver's license, he used to drive around in a minivan.
Just drive around?
Yeah, just drive around bothering people. And he started taking the city bus everywhere. I can only imagine what it was like to get sat next to Jimmy Crum on the city bus, have to listen to old Woody Hayes stories for miles and miles. God. There's the Dean of Sports.
I think so long as you just, like, praised him, I think he would be okay.
Yeah, she had to praise him.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, that woman in town, I don't know what happened, but he got that note from her. She was at the bar. I don't know. We were at Applebee's.
Okay.
Having bacon and eggs at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the waitress comes over and puts a piece of paper on the table. And old BDI Jimmy was looking at his bacon and eggs. And we're sitting there talking to him. And he opens up the paper very slowly. And he looks at it over his glasses. And then he looks over at the bar. And we look over at the bar. And there's this woman waving like nobody's business. Waving at him. And then he looks back down at the note. And then he looks back at her. And she waves again. Then he folded up the note. And he put it to the side. Never said a word. Just kept on telling stories about Jerry Lucas and John Havlicek.
Can't keep on keeping on.
God. I still don't know what that was about.
You'd be like, hey, what's up with that?
Oh, no. I didn't care at that point. Took him 4.5 hours to eat bacon and eggs.
You got bacon and eggs at Applebee's?
Yes, because everybody was closed. And I had to go in. Because he was so... He could not... Too good for anything else. Wouldn't eat pancakes? No. So Applebee's was one of the few things open in those days after midnight. And I went in and I said, listen, I got the Dean of Sports in my car, Jimmy Crum. And he wants bacon and eggs. Do you guys have eggs and bacon? I know you don't have it on your menu, but can you fry him up some bacon and eggs? Oh, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that.
I don't know. That's funny. I don't know why. You should have just taken him to Denny's. Open 24 hours.
Take him to Denny's. Yeah, he would have complained.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Denny's.
And he would tell these inane stories. Like I say, well, Sean, because Sean was driving the car. He'll tell you some Jimmy Crumb story. He'll tell you about the same that I will. Sean was driving. I said, let's go down to Bob Evans and see if they're open. And, I knew Bob Evans. He was a very kind man, and he used to give me... I never paid for a meal at Bob Evans for 25 years. Okay. He's dead. He's dead. Thank you for that story. That was regaled with that story. But I'm telling you, 4.5 hours of him telling old Channel 4 Ohio State Buckeye stories.
Ugh. Well, I don't think he's got much else.
He was trying to be entertaining. And I'll tell you, when that lady came up and said, your jacket looks like Lifesavers. Oh, God. He gave a nasty look to that woman. And I'll never forget the server. Now, here's my final Jimmy Crum. This is another, you know, Jimmy Crum with the server at Applebee's. The guy, trying to be nice, a younger fellow, was there. We walk over with him to the table, which took about 6 years, because that's as fast as he moved. We got to the table, and the server goes, I love this story. It's my favorite Jimmy Crum story, matter of fact. The server goes, are you Jimmy Crum? And he goes, yes. And he said, I used to watch you when I was a kid. And he said, oh, that's great. Would you like an autograph? And the guy goes, no thanks. And walked away. I thought, oh, Jimmy didn't know what to say then.
Well, I wouldn't know what to say.
No, you know what he said? I'll tell you what he said. I remember now. He turned to me, you know what he said? Probably didn't have a pin. He was a server. The guy had a pin. Probably didn't have a pen.
I mean, like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. If I'm going to ask you if you're somebody, and you say, yeah, and then you offer me an
offer. He just recognized him.
Why do I care?
It was like seeing Mount Rushmore. Somebody walk off Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, and I want one of those guys' signature, for sure, 1,000%.
Nah, he knew how he was.
I take a Jimmy Crumb signature.
Word had gotten around by that point.
I'll take a Jimmy Crumb signature. I'll be all right with
that. Oh, no, you never had to spend time with him.
Well, I mean, if he was going to just offer up a signature, all I had to do was be like, are you Jimmy Crum? I used to watch you when I was a kid. He'd be like, oh, cool, sign this. So he's a nice enough guy.
Oh, yeah. He thought he was somebody. He had an ego that wouldn't fit in a room. Jimmy Crumb. God bless him. Gave me some good stories.
I think Jimmy Crumb's just, he's a fine fellow. Fine fellow.
That was the longest night of my life. Driving around with Jimmy Crumb.
Oh.
I don't even know why we had to take him out to eat. I've never been responsible for somebody. It was like he was his babysitter all night.
Maybe he just doesn't have many friends, and he was like,
"Oh, I bet that's true. I bet that's true. You can bet your bottom dollar on that."
He was just holding you hostage for a while. He kidnapped
God,
you.
God, he told. And I listened to all his stories and tried to seem interested, and then he would leave those terrible messages. Clever guy.
Well, apparently
the one and only Dean of Sports, Jimmy Crumb.
Well, apparently,
God rest his soul.
He just wanted to let you know he wasn't happy with it.
Well, a lot of people liked him, though. You know, God bless his heart.
Yeah, it seems like a nice note.
All right, what's coming up next?
Next hour, we're going to be talking about, the draft happened, so we're going to be talking about that.
Listen, if you want to be a sports guy, you got to learn to trash people.
Learn to trash people? I can get behind that.
That's the Jimmy Crumb school.
Well, I think I've already trashed. I think I've trashed some NFL coaches and GMs.
Well, this has been a fun night.
I think so.
All right.
Been two hours beating on Jimmy Crumb.
Well, I didn't know. I wanted to praise football. I just praise football. I can't get that girl out of the picture, but I'll praise. I don't have a picture with Jimmy. Forget that.
Well, that's good.
All right. In any event.
Oh.
We're done.
It's been fun.
All right. Stay tuned. But for me, I'm done. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Breaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.